Oh, is anybody there? Aha! I see a face pop up. I can't make out who it is. It's on my phone. Sorry. I know you're there. I can't see you. Two people are on. Oh, Bruce. Good evening, Bruce. Nice to see you. Now then, I just wait for one or two people to come on. I see there's one or two coming on. There's five or six on already, which is lovely. We'll begin in half a second. Give it another 10-20 seconds and we'll see how many are on. I shall greet you as you come up on my screen here. It's Bruce is on, David McDonald's on, Joni's on, Sean's on. Hi, Sean. Kate's on, Paul's on. Joni's on again. Oh my goodness, I've got people from all around the world on here. This is amazing. Kasima from us, from New Zealand, I think, is on. Joni's on from the States. Goodness gracious. Even Jamie's on. Wonderful. There's a good crowd coming today. Right. Well, today's little broadcast is in response to post I put on Facebook a few days ago, I think it was about 5 days ago, about planting stakes and the process around it, and one of the processes that I'd missed earlier. So this broadcast really is all about preparing for revival, for staking and claiming back your lands and reopening wells. Let's go back to the beginning, really. About 4 years ago, we had a word from a prophet who, if I mentioned the name, you'd know. The word was about Linda and I planting stakes, reclaiming land, and even reopening old wells of revival. The Lord brings this back to mind now and then, and as I sat thinking about this one evening more recently, the Lord suddenly spoke very clearly. Ask me where. Now this caught me a little bit on the hop, and of course I'm like grease lightning on these things, so I said, where what, Lord? And he said, where to plant the next stake. So I started thinking about this, and having done that, I started to think, I'd write this all down and share how I go about deciding how, when, and where to plant new stakes. I never ask why. The Lord says to do it, and that's enough for me. First and most important thing is that the Lord is in charge. He knows what he's doing. He knows where he wants stakes planted. He knows the whole process from start to finish, from the first spark of an idea to the opening of any portal or well of revival that this may generate. He plants the seed. He orders our steps. Then he orchestrates the result that he has determined as a result of planting the stake. And we are just simply his servants, and we simply obey the Spirit's leading. The Lord tells me where to plant the stake, literally within a few feet. When we planted our first stake, we were up in the Lake District in the north of England. And I thought I knew where to plant the stake, so we went to the spot. It was just off Bassenthwaite, if any of you know where Bassenthwaite is. It's a very large lake up in Cumbria. It was absolutely heaving down with rain. We traipsed out across this boggy field, and I thought, oh, this must be the spot. So I planted a stake, and then we blew the shofar, and we ran like mad back to the car to get out the rain. As I got back to the car, the Lord said, no, you got it wrong again. So he took me to the map, and I looked on the map, and I looked for a specific place, and he showed me a specific place, a lay-by on the road, near a lake called Esthwaite Water. We found the place on the map. Google Maps took us there, guiding us as a sat nav. And when we got there, we found the perfect spot right by a post box, and right opposite a big clearing on the edge of the lake. We were guided by the Holy Spirit right to the lake where we were to plant that stake. And then something happened with another stake, this time on a spot halfway up a mountain in Wales. We were on a mountain called Foel Eria. I hope I pronounced that right. It's Welsh for Eagle Mountain. And the Lord pointed to the spot. And I'm not kidding. He took me to a spot and he was very precise. It was within, I think I must have been within a couple of feet of where he wanted me to plant it. The Lord tells me where to declare God's kingdom territory. See, when you plant a stake, you're reclaiming the land. You're declaring God's territory over the whole area. He tells me to declare God's kingdom territory, usually the area, a few square miles around the stake. It may be a village. It may be an entire city, or it may be, in the case of when we're in the Lake District, an entire region. That's where we reclaim and repossess the area for him, again, as with kingdom territory. That's where we declare renewal. We declare awakening and revival again, as with kingdom territory. And we start with Psalm 91. We declare the whole of Psalm 91 over that area. Don't declare, if you're doing this yourself, if you're taking this as a sort of directional how to plant a stake, this is how the Lord directs Linda and I to go and plant stakes. He may direct you differently. This is his job we're doing here. We're doing his work, and we do it the way he wants us to do it. So when we plant the stake, that's where we declare renewal, we declare awakening and revival. We don't declare over areas that the Lord has not told us to claim. We don't expand things to God, for God. He's quite able to do that for himself. God usually is fairly exact when he asks us what to do things. The Lord tells me how and which of the seven mountains of influence to speak to in the area, to name them one by one, especially if necessary. This is especially if you're dealing with territorial spirits. And when I talk about the seven mountains, I'm talking about media, family, arts and entertainment, economy, religion, education and government. We all know these are huge mountains of influence. The Lord tells me during the whole planting process when to bless the area. Now this is important too. He tells me when to bless the area, when to invite Holy Spirit in, which is usually right at the start, and when to command angelic host protection and help. He'll do the same with you. He is very precise when he gives instructions of things like this, tasks, prophetic acts to carry out for him. The Lord tells me where and how much to salt the earth, usually about a small handful. This is the ingredient I've missed in the past. This was the subject of the post I referred to earlier. When we've been planting stakes, we haven't been spreading salt around. People ask why salt. Salt is a healing. Salt is what Elisha used when he healed the water that was bad water in a spring. He healed the entire spring with salt. He healed the pot when the pot was contained poison. Salt is referred to in several places as a healer, as many things. It's referred to in Exodus, Leviticus, in 2 Kings 2, 20 to 21, that's where Elisha healed the spring. In Ezra, when Ezra was reading the word to the Israelites. Matthew 5:13 and more places. Salt is used to heal water. It's used to heal land. And in days gone by, it was used when sailors were flogged, as they often were for disobeying orders or being drunk on duty or whatever. They were flogged with cat o' nine tails, and salt was then applied to the wounds on their back to help healing. Finally, the Lord tells me when and how to blow the shofar. Now this is where it starts to get interesting. Sometimes he tells me what to blow. I know we are to use the sequence, a certain sequence in Hebrew. It's the I hope my pronunciation is right here. It's the Teruah, the Shebarim, the Tekiah, and maybe the Tekiah Gedolah. When planting stakes, we reclaim the territory for the kingdom of God. And I'll come back to that in a minute. God tells me each time I go, I am, whenever possible, to take people, even young people, or especially young people with me, to mentor them and disciple them. And again, whenever possible, both before the event and afterwards. So this planting is not just for us to claim land for God. It's also to pass on to the next generation, shall we say, the whole prophetic activation of planting a stake and reclaiming territory. Who are we reclaiming it from? We're reclaiming it from the enemy, from the devil. We're reclaiming land that he has usurped and taken over for himself. We're coming against witchcraft in the area. We're coming across all sorts of things. There's one more thing to consider. If you're going to start to plant stakes or stake, what sort of stake do you use? I'm asked this quite frequently. Unfortunately, I've now gone and left my one and only prop in the car, which is outside, of course. I use an ordinary wooden tent peg, as supplied by Mr. Amazon. He charges about 20 quid for 20 of them. And what we do, we plant these pegs in the ground, and we sink them as low as we can in the ground. What you do when you plant a stake is you bury it completely. Now, I have a word from God that I've been holding on to, and I've yet to see it come to pass, but it will happen. And he has told me that one day, one of the stakes I plant will, like Aaron's rod, spout growth again. It will grow. It will produce blossom or whatever, leaves and blossom, and it will just start to grow again as a sign that revival is starting in that particular area. That's the word the Lord gave me. And I hang on to that, and I'm just watching everywhere I plant stakes. We've planted about a dozen so far. We don't do them every week. We do probably perhaps three or four a year. But it's always where the Lord tells us to do it. When you plant it, you bury that stake completely in the soil. This is why I always actually take two stakes with me. The second one is to hammer the first one underneath the soil, so it can't be seen, it can't be tripped over, and nobody can come along afterwards and say, oh, there it is, and dig it up again. It's buried completely in the soil. Just thinking on this actually could be a day or half of the ministry that we could offer. Linda and I are more than happy to come and offer this. This is something that if you're interested in, just give me a shout. Contact me, DM me or whatever. Now, there's a PS to all of this, which I alluded to just now, and that's blowing the shofar. I referred to the Teruah, the Shevarim, Tekiah, and Tekiah Gedolah. These are the Hebrew words for sounds made on, or noises made on the shofar. There's an increasing anointing on the shofar being blown. Let me just tell you what all these mean. This particular sequence that I mentioned, Teruah, Shevarim, Tekiah, and Tekiah Gedolah, these are sounded at Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The Teruah is the first call to be made by the shofar blower. It involves a sequence of nine or more rapid-fire staccato blows. So toot, 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 toot. I won't do it any louder than that, and I'm not going to blow my shofar for you because I haven't practiced it. Just think of the Teruah as a traditional wake-up call. It was also used to warn of an enemy approaching or even an attack. It's an alarm call to arms. The Shevarim, the next call you make, is is a sequence of three short to medium sounds. Sort of pap, pap, pap. You can tell I'm no singer. Some scholars believe that the shivarim is our tears of sadness or joy at another year passing, which is why it's used at Yom Kippur, of course. Its more usual meaning is a call to repentance, hence the reference to tears of sadness, meaning tears of repentance. The third blast, the tekiah, is a single blow. It's a long, loud blast. I'm not going to try and imitate it. If you've ever seen a knight or a court messenger in a film play the horn or blow a trumpet to sound the tension that the king is coming, the king is about to enter the room, the tekiah is that kind of sound. When the tekiah sounds, it brings everyone to attention. But traditionally, it was a victory shout. Then we come to the final blow on the shofar. It's called the tekiah gedolah. The three sounds that I've just mentioned throughout the Rosh Hashanah service, and during the final combination, the shofar player includes the tekiah gedolah, which is the great blast, one last very long tekiah to wrap up. Now, I heard it said that a skilled shofar blower can sound the tekiah gedolah for about a minute. That's one long single blast lasting an entire minute. That's a long time to keep a trumpet blowing, because the shofar really is the old Jewish trumpet that they used to use. If you think about the walls of Jericho, the priests going ahead blowing the trumpets, that's what they were blowing. They were blowing shofars, ram's horn trumpets. My understanding is that we are to use the sequence Teruah, Shivarim, Tekiah, and maybe Tekiah Gedolah when we're planting stakes to reclaim territory for the kingdom of God. The sequence, as I said, is mostly used at Rosh Hashanah, at the passing of the old year and the beginning of the new year. However, I also hear from Holy Spirit that I should use one or more of them as prompted by him at other times, like healing meetings or deliverance meetings, or even in moments of trouble. I find it all quite fascinating. It's at least fascinating to me. Now, we've done that in about 15 minutes. The notes that I have used for this will be available. This recording will be available afterwards. It'll be on my Facebook line. The notes I made, the shorthand notes, as it were, from which I was reading, are available for you if you'd like them. I'll happily send you a copy of them, either on a message or I'll send them in an email. It's entirely up to you. But I just ask Holy Spirit that none of the words I used today fell to the ground. None of the message he wanted me to convey today fell to the ground. I ask his blessing on everybody watching this now. I pray that if you are called to bury a stake, that the Lord will show you how he wants it done. And if he wants it done in the same sort of way that I've described here, then you're welcome to contact me and I'll help you in any way I can. So I pray a blessing on everyone who's watching this. I pray your peace, the peace that passes all understanding. I pray your shalom on you. And I pray the anointing of God accompanies this video wherever it goes. So I'll bid you good night. It's only 20 minutes on, so it's a short video. I hope you've enjoyed it. Just let me know in your comments. Good night now. God bless. See you again soon. Bye-bye.